One-time pads. Okay, so a one-time pad is like a visionary cipher where the key is as long as the plain text. So every position in the plain text is encrypted using a different row, essentially, a different letter of the key. This is an actual one-time pad. So the sort of metaphor of the one-time pad is that the Bob and Alice both have this identical pad with lots of numbers written on them, something like this. Bob encrypts using a page of the pad that's as long as the message. And when Alice receives the encrypted message, she uses her top page from the pad to decrypt it. And then they both throw their pages, their top pages away. The next message they would encrypt and decrypt using the second, the second page. This is completely secure. There's no possibility of doing a frequency analysis on this. And but it's kind of a, there's this like kind of a parlor game quality to this, right? Because Bob is trying to get a message to Alice. And, to get the message, Alice is trying to get a message to Bob. But in order to get the message to Bob securely, she has to get a pad of information that's as big as the message is to Bob, right? How can she get the pad to Bob? If she can get the pad to Bob, she can use whatever secure method that was for getting the message itself. Well, the idea, of course, is that they meet up ahead of time and hopefully he can sneak it away, and then later she can send through this open channel the message. But this one-time pads are impractical because it's so hard to communicate the keys or to send someone off with enough keys so that they can use them over the long period that they're separated from the sender and trying to communicate with each other. And then there's this problem that all of this is background to the electronic world, where Alice and Bob are like you and Amazon, or you and your Gmail server. Okay, and how would you get the key communicated in the first place? You'd have to physically meet up. Here's Kirchhoff's principle. This is one that's good to remember. Kirchhoff's principle says that a system is going to be most secure if everybody knows what it is and nobody's been able to break it. And there was a stunning example of a violation of Kirchhoff's principle in the papers around Boston about 2 months ago. Anybody know what I'm referring to? Had to do with the MBTA.
The Charlie cards?
The Charlie card thing, right. So, three MIT undergraduates were going to go to a conference and explain how the Charlie card encryption system worked, because it wasn't very good. I mean, they'd be able to figure it out without much trouble. And in a way that made it possible to add money to the fair cards, not the plastic cards, but the ones with the mag stripe on them. And they were arrested, okay? They were arrested, and what should have happened is that the MBTA people should have figured out how they were encrypting the data on those mag stripe cards and then released it to the freshman class at Harvard and MIT and asked them to try to hack it ahead of time. Because there are ways to do this right, but they made up their secret way that they didn't tell anybody about, and then some kids had no trouble at all figuring out how to break it. And so instead of having a secure system, they have an insecure system and some students under arrest. Kirchhoff's principle. So this is still regularly violated. Okay, so there There actually are secure versions of the protocol that I've just described. If you, any of you guys working in the business world know about DES and AES and their long keys, but and you have to use longer keys because, like Ken cracking the bike lock here on the first day, it's more possible now than it used to be to do exhaustive search. But you're still left the problem with these systems of getting the keys communicated, even though the various, you know, variations on the vision error and substitution ciphers are now pretty much uncrackable without knowing the key, you still have to get the key communicated. Okay, so that's the next problem, is how to get around that problem, and we're going to do that in the second half of the class. And we'll pick up with a little bit of the vision error decryption instead.